Support for this program is provided by Chevron, the human energy company.
Hey, this is Politico Energy. I'm Catherine Morehouse. Last fall, New York tried to save its offshore wind industry by backing three new wind farms that all rely on equipment made by General Electric. It was a big bet, worth millions of dollars. But now, state officials just announced that those projects are dead in the water. That news could really derail New York's clean energy goals. It could also hurt President Joe Biden's national climate agenda, which depends heavily on ambitious blue states like New York and the ailing offshore wind industry in general. So today, I chat with Politico's Marie French and Rye Rivard about what went wrong in New York and how it's a big deal for the state and the rest of the country. It's Tuesday, April 23rd.
These are, you know, each more than 1,000 megawatt projects. In total, they were supposed to supply more than 4,000 megawatts to New York City. You know, they're all located primarily sort of in the, what we call the New York Bight area, which is sort of south of Long Island off the coast of New Jersey. So those are Excelsior Wind, which was being developed by Vineyard Offshore, not to be confused with Vineyard Wind. Vineyard Offshore is backed by Copenhagen Infrastructure Partners. And the other two were Attentive Energy One, which has support from Rise Light and Power because they were going to interconnect at a power plant in New York City that they own. And then there's Community Offshore Wind, which is backed by RWE and National Grid.
And can you tell us a bit about why New York was so bullish on these three projects and kind of, it sounds like, banked on these projects heavily to reach their offshore wind goals?
Yeah, so, New York selected these projects after a competitive solicitation. New York did sort of this interesting thing where they really linked the supply chain of offshore wind with these projects. So the awards, you know, each developer, when they went into the bidding process, proposed partnering with various supply chain providers. And GE really, like, was included in a lot of these bids by, I think, pretty much every developer. So the state decided that made a lot of sense to have GE build two major factories in New York to support the industry and to choose these three, primarily based on prices, but also there are also economic development factors, you know, that NYSERDA included in its evaluation of the bids.
So it seems like they were pretty confident in assigning these, all three of these bids to GE, but you're reporting that late last week, New York officials announced that all three projects have been canceled. So can you tell us a bit about what happened there?
Yeah, so GE essentially decided not to make the turbine that all these bids were based on. It was going to be a larger 18 megawatt turbine. And I think, you know, NYSERDA and the developers definitely tried to figure out how to make this work. There were definitely conversations still going on before, you know, the official announcement that these three projects were not going to move forward and sign a full contract with NYSERDA. But GE decided not to build that bigger turbine. And that means these developers would have had to change their permitting, change a lot of the inputs. You know, if you need more turbines to produce the energy, you also need more foundations, more towers, like, it gets a lot more expensive. You have to have more cables to connect all these projects together and, you know, collect the power. It just became unworkable. And New York has historically rejected any, you know, changes to price after a competitive process. So there wasn't a lot of wiggle room there. Ultimately, I sort of decided not to move forward.
And that is an area of the country, New York and New Jersey, where the Biden administration is putting a lot of weight on those regions to really get offshore wind going. And so, Rye, I'm wondering if you could talk a bit about New Jersey here. Is New Jersey impacted by these sudden cancellations at all? Or what does that look like for the state that you report from, which also has these huge offshore wind goals that, again, the Biden administration is relying on in some ways?
Yeah, so if you remember last fall, the two of the three projects that were approved in New Jersey were canceled by Ørsted, the Danish energy company. And so there's sort of one was left hobbling along, and then two more were approved earlier this year by our state utility regulators, but they still have a lot of permitting to go through. There's no steel in the ground. There hasn't been a final investment decision on, you know, the one that's still around from, you know, earlier bids. There was some optimism in New York that New Jersey's woes could help them. And now I think it's safe to say that there's some worry in New York that New York's woes could help New Jersey. But, you know, I think the entire industry had a terrible 2023 and they were looking to 2024 to sort of rebound. And what just happened in New York really sets things back, even if, you know, projects are still sort of winning approval and there's going to be more chances for more new projects in New Jersey. There's just no steel on the ground. There's steel on the water anywhere in New Jersey right now. And so it's sort of like looking around, it's like, what industry? It's an industry on paper at this point.
Okay, and I know you two don't have a crystal ball or anything, but given the failures and the struggles in both of these states, what are the offshore wind ambitions looking like? Are the goals that the Biden administration and these states laid out still realistic?
I think it's fair to say that most observers don't expect the U.S. to meet the Biden administration's target of 30 gigawatts by the time they'd laid out. In terms of New York's goals, you know, there's a statutory target of 9,000 megawatts by 2035. I mean, theoretically, you could contract that much. It might be pretty costly. The most significant thing in New York here is that these three projects were going to supply a big chunk of the 70% renewable electricity by 2030 goal that's in law. And without these projects, it becomes much more difficult to meet those goals.
In New Jersey, the governor, Phil Murphy, a Democrat, has a 100% renewable energy by 2035 goal. Some of that can be met with renewable energy credits. It doesn't have to be met with in-state generation. And I think we're just looking at a reality where the most important thing for clean energy that could happen in New Jersey is the continued operation of three nuclear power plants, which provide the lion's share of the clean energy. And, you know, the thing that's helped them most is the Inflation Reduction Act. So that's a big win for the Biden administration. You won't see really anybody around here other than the company, Public Service Group, that owns the plants giving the Biden administration much credit. But that's sort of what's keeping, you know, the wheels on the wagon of clean energy in New Jersey right now. There's a lot of talk. There's a lot of goals. There's a lot of good intentions. There's a lot of money going into solar. And there's a lot of money, theoretically, that will be going into wind. But again, we're just not seeing construction right now. And it's just sort of up and down every couple months. You know, if you can announce a major award, but if another bidder falls out or can't get the money together, or, you know, if there's a second Trump administration, can't get the permits for 4 years, I just don't know where the industry is right now.
Also, the Biden administration gave us new details about these two programs geared toward underinvested areas and young Americans. First, EPA is planning to issue dozens of new grants that would be used to install solar power for low-income and disadvantaged households. Those grants will take from a $7 billion pot of money created under the Inflation Reduction Act called Solar for All. The administration also posted job openings for the first 2,000 positions in the American Climate Corps. That's a program that trains young Americans in clean energy or climate-oriented work. For more news on energy and the environment, subscribe to our free newsletter at politico.com/power-switch and subscribe to Politico Pro to read our morning energy newsletter. Some of the music in today's show is composed by the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. And that's our show. I'm Catherine Morehouse, and we'll see you back tomorrow.
Support for this program is provided by Chevron. Chevron is taking action to keep methane in the pipe. Their 2028 upstream methane intensity target is set to be 53%. Below the 2016 baseline, and they're committed to evolving facility designs and operating practices. That's energy in progress. Learn more at chevron.com/methane.